Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dom, it is a Wednesday edition, and I'm always very excited when there is new Wisconsin Marquette University Law School polling. That means our friend Charles Franklin will join us in the happy hour today. And Dom, we got a fine guest joining us right from the top. She's your congresswoman, our friend Gwen Moore. We welcome her back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Welcome, Gwen.
Hey, Gwen.
Bruce, how you doing?
I'm doing excellent. It was great to see you in D.C., sort of closer to your element the day Speaker Mike Johnson, MAGA Mike Johnson, was elected. Gwen, I saw you outside the Longworth building that day. You've gotten to know him a little bit. He's been the speaker now for, what, going on 2 weeks. First impressions, Gwen. How's Speaker MAGA Mike doing?
Well, I'll tell you, it was terrifying. I should have been more suspicious when this unknown person was being pushed very hard by known members of the Freedom Caucus. And he certainly lived up to his reputation as a member of the Freedom Caucus. You know, first thing he did was to put a supplemental bill on the floor to support Israel, $14 billion, and a pay for by taking all of the money, taking $14 billion from the money that we need to catch, you know, billionaire, multi-billionaire tax cheats away from the IRS. So, you know, usually you would consider something like a, you know, an Israeli supplemental as an emergency funding effort, and there would not need to be an offset. But he was able to execute, I'll say, one of the major priorities of the Republican Party, and that is to protect the top 1% in their money from paying their fair share of taxes.
And Gwen,
so that's what he did.
Well, Gwen, and there's some question, even if what he rolled out, this funding, this aid for Israel, even if the cuts to the IRS were palatable, where's the funding for the Ukraine? Why are these things not being packaged? I mean, even Mitch McConnell, not often considered a moderate, but even Mitch McConnell said, you got to package these things up. We need like $105 billion. Joe Biden's on board. Where are the House Republicans?
Well, I mean, you just have really, you know, he talked about the real dichotomy in the Republican, the Senate Republicans and the House Republicans. I mean, we've known for a long time that there are plenty of very vocal members of the Republican Party in the House that don't want to provide any funding for Ukraine. And presidential candidates in the Republican Party that don't want to fund Ukraine. So this is not a new problem. What has changed really is that they are now in charge. And so they deliberately left that funding out. And if that funding is restored, it'll have to be because the Senate puts it back in a package that comes back to us.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. That is Congresswoman Gwen Moore, my congresswoman. Gwen, love talking to you. Thanks for coming around. Last night, an election in several states here in the great country of the USA. 1 year out, Gwen, from the presidential. A lot of folks looking to last night as the tea leaves, perhaps. Is this something that we can predict? It looked like it went pretty well for the Dems. Abortion still going to be a big issue. Weed still an issue. What was your takeaway from the elections last night, Gwen?
Well, I'm going to tell you, quite frankly, I was terrified
yeah.
at the beginning of the day because, of course, I know you're going to talk about the doggone Marquette polls that show where Joe Biden is. But we've, you know, what happened in Virginia and Ohio, some rather bellwether states, we saw a trend that's very similar to past trends. You know, when you know, Virginia, for example, despite all the money the governor spent, you know, Youngkin, he lost both the House and the Senate. And that's a real bellwether for who the next president is going to be. That, you know, it demonstrates really fully that a Democratic president is likely. Ohio, for God's sake.
Yeah.
A state where, you know, Democrats have absolutely no hope realistically of winning. The fact that they legalized recreational marijuana and put in the Constitution a constitutional right to choose to have an abortion, I think portends well for Sherrod Brown's reelection as in the U.S. Senate. You know, he's established, and it looks like, you know, I'm gonna borrow a word that may be a dirty word to some people, but it looks like the folks in Ohio are woke. Looks like they are not asleep as to what Republicans have in mind for their, you know, subjection. And so I am those two places, I was really shocked. And of course, we had a Democratic governor in Kentucky, but I mean, he outperformed himself winning last night and really picked up a lot of constituencies that had been ruby red. And so while I thought Mississippi gubernatorial race was a long shot, we still saw the gap close quite a bit. And so I have a much better feeling this morning, today, than I did before these polls came in. And then, of course, you, we can just always mention Sheila Jackson Lee emerging out of that. I don't know how many people were on that ballot for Houston. It must have been a dozen to 12, 13, 14, 15, something like that. And so she emerged with 35% of the vote to 43% of the vote for Whitmer. And so there's going to be a runoff there. Of course, that Houston is a Democratic city, so it doesn't really speak volumes to your question at all. But I think, you know, what we're seeing is that people are engaged. People are willing to come out and vote, you know, in an off, you know, season. And of course, 2024 is the presidential when we expect most voters to decide to vote. So I think that Dems have a really good base to work from.
Gwen, I feel you. I've been so concerned of late, taking a lot of losses here on this side over the years. It was a great to wake up this morning and see those results roll in. But of course, it's not just the election. It's also the get out the vote effort. It's the door knocking. It's the activism. It's people being engaged in self-governance. We had Wisconsin WISDEM's chair Ben Wickler on the show yesterday talking about, you know, the effort to get out to vote. We're 1 year out, Gwen. How are you feeling about the efforts as it stands right now?
Well, listen, you know, maybe you could tell me something that I don't know, since the Republicans have held me hostage in D.C. for 9 weeks. And I literally have come home on Saturday mornings and come back, you know, late Sunday night to keep up with the schedule. But I had heard from, you know, Spectrum One that the Republicans up there are trying to prevent get-out-the-vote efforts, nonpartisan GOT efforts, TV efforts. And I'm wondering if Ben Wickler talked about that. I mean, that would be horrible. It seems, from what I hear, that this initiative to stop GOTV vote, get-out-the-vote efforts, it's passed the assembly twice. So, you know, I don't want to speak out of turn here, but I'm wondering if you have any light to shed on what's going on there.
Well, Gwen, it is my impression that
this constitutional amendment, because they're also what they're putting up other things like, should illegal aliens, as they would describe them, should they be able to vote here in the nation? Well, these are get out the vote efforts on behalf of the conservatives. Of course, they think by putting these sort of problematic issues on the ballot that they're going to churn out theirs, Gwen. The get out the vote efforts that are going on with the GOP, they're actually door knocking in Milwaukee. We understand from reporting of John King at CNN and Angela Lang and Block. There was a long article that CNN did on them, Gwen, but they point out the GOP, the Republicans, are door knocking in Milwaukee. I'm not going to say they're making inroads, but I'm not sure if they're there to try to turn them out or keep them home, Gwen.
Exactly, because I've gotten pieces of literature from the Republican effort. I think they're just interested in point shaving. And it's not about winning. You know, it's about depressing the vote, lying to our constituents, sort of, you know, casting doubt in people's minds about our leadership so that people will stay at home to discourage voting. I mean, I think it's a very cogent strategy. And they're unable to wholesale convince African Americans and Hispanics and people of color, for example, to support them. So they'll just discourage them. Of course, they play games with women as well. They're trying now to back away from their strident opposition to abortion rights by saying, well, I know you really, Democrats would allow you to have an abortion right up until the time of birth, and we know you oppose that. And so I think that they've got all kinds of tricks up their sleeves. And we better be aware, if they're going door to door in Milwaukee, we're going to have to match that and follow through with our own door to door conversation.
You know, Gwen, it was 5 years ago yesterday that Scott Walker was defeated here in the state of Wisconsin. Do you still have some warm, fuzzy memories of the morning after of that election, Gwen?
Oh, absolutely. Scott Walker is personal and political. Political because he was bound and determined to deliver blows. No matter how much he costs people.
Gwen, hold that thought. We'll come back. That's you singing the Scott Kevin Walker blues. More Devil's Advocates. More with Congresswoman Gwen Moore.
The Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Make sure you download the Civic Media app. It's super cool. You can take the Devils with you everywhere you go. Click on the buttons. You can call. You can text. And you can listen to podcasts and interviews like with our Congresswoman, Gwen Moore. Gwen, welcome back.
Gwen, appreciate you sticking around. That wasn't fair. I asked you to remember when Scott Walker lost. That's sort of a memory we should all relish for just a minute. Right. It wasn't quite fair to you, Gwen. But
I actually relish that. Honestly, it's been a long time since I've sat on the Joint Committee on Finance. But just his not taking the money for the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, and providing coverage for more low-wage workers, people working that need health care, it's got to be at this point close to a $1 billion hit to our budget. Just the orneriness and the partisanship, he's leaving all this money on the table. I mean, that's despicable. And every time, I sat on that bullet train in China when I went to visit and thought about how fast that transportation is, and I just practically boo-hooed when I thought about the $800 million that he wouldn't allow us to have upgrades in public transportation. Just being partisan and not wanting Milwaukee to have any quote-unquote wins. And then I thought about how, I had put together in my freshman year with then-Senator Brian Burke, the Regional Transportation Authority. How he got into office, that was one of the first things he destroyed, because I, at that point, had been the only person who defeated him. So, of course, he had to undo everything that I had done. He just was a destroyer of anything that could really benefit great numbers of people and create economic impact. You know, it wasn't, you know, not taking that Affordable Care money. Like I said, that's just stuck on stupid and waiting on dumb to come. That was federal dollars that he just left on the table. And I was just glad that he was spending more time with his lovely wife.
Gwen Moore, our fine friend and congresswoman of Milwaukee. Gwen, Scott Walker is no longer the governor, but the maps instituted by Scott Walker and sort of re-enshrined under this current legislative gerrymander, these maps have really killed small-D democracy in the state of Wisconsin. One of my colleagues today wanted to talk about propositions. I said the Dems don't get any propositions through, not on a state level. But Gwen, the Biden administration and the former Congress delivered, and we got a lot of money coming to the state of Wisconsin, especially in renewable energies. My understanding, like 11 gigawatts of new solar and wind energy and 22,000 jobs coming down the pike to the state of Wisconsin, Gwen. They can't deliver on the state level, but on the federal level, the Biden administration has delivered for Wisconsin, have they not, Gwen?
They certainly have, and you want to know, I think that's going to inure to the benefit of the Democrats come 2024. You know, some of the problems that people say, they just can't see or feel the impact of what Biden has done. You know, if you live in a red state, the state government, the state governors are in charge of the money. So, you know, very often, you know, they won't apply the money in a way that the poorest people, you know, I was remembering this being in Mississippi, can really feel the impact. Thinking about how, you know, the water drama in Jackson and you know, millions of dollars being sent to Mississippi that they appropriate in other ways. Well, in Wisconsin, thank God we've got Tony Evers. Even though we have been under the subjection of Republicans who have, of course, tried to kneecap Tony in every way that they can. And I tell you, his experience, his cool head, his savvy has really gotten us through a lot. I mean, to be a governor, a Democratic governor, with both houses being Republican and one in the Senate, I believe, has a supermajority, he has been a miracle worker under those circumstances. Mm.
Indeed. My congresswoman, so, yeah, I'm sorry, Gwen, go ahead.
In a year's time, I think Wisconsin is going to be in a real good position to pull it out for Joe Biden again.
My congresswoman, Gwen Moore, for just a few more minutes. Gwen, the government scheduled to shut down a week from Friday. It's coming real quick. What are your thoughts? What do you see happening? How do you think this is going to play out?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm sitting here now. We're going back into session at 9:15 Eastern Time to try to finish off the financial services appropriations bill. You know, the Republicans have decided that they're going to do, you know, a year's worth of work, you know, in 2 or 3 weeks, particularly after they squandered 3 weeks trying to find a speaker. And so, you know, they're keeping us up, you know, Monday to Friday, every week, all, you know, all day and into the night, into early morning hours, because they're putting together their own appropriations bills with all kind of ridiculous amendments we've had to vote on, you know, delete the salary of XYZ employer, reduce their salary $1, you know, and, you know, just ridiculous. This evidence that they can't govern. And at the end of that, we're going to have to get it to the Senate, and the Senate is going to have to clean it up and send us a better bill. Their bills, as hard as we're working on them, they will not see the light of day. They have demonstrated their unworthiness to run the House of Representatives, and we're waiting on Hakeem Jeffries.
Gwen, do you think the American people have noticed? I mean, certainly it's been chaotic, but do you think this just fades from memory, or do you think this affects the electorate come next year especially?
Well, I think that the Republicans have really, really become extremely aggressive in calling us woke, because I think that they really prefer everybody to be asleep and not to be paying attention to what's happening. But apparently people are paying attention. They're paying attention to all of these outrageous abortion bills that are popping up all over the country, and they're saying no in every which way. They are seeing when they learn more about, they are hearing, they're going to hear a lot about the government saving plans of Republicans, and it's really going to involve cutting benefits directly to them, including having an impact on Social Security and Medicare. They're going to be able to see close up and personal that these people are concerned only about the wealthy and not about, you know, Joe Lunchbucket. People, they want to ignore the environment, continue to block all efforts to move our economy into a post-fossil fuel economy. And in the meantime, Americans are going to continue to experience these awful weather events. It's just hard to ignore who's working on what.
Gwen Moore, thank you so much for joining the Devil's Advocates today. We're up against a hard break. We'll catch up real soon, Gwen.
Thank you, Congresswoman.
Occupy didn't start on Wall Street. It started on our street. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, Dom's Disco. And I am grateful to your Congresswoman, our friend Gwen Moore. Thank you for coming around, Gwen.
Yeah, we love Gwen.
Gwen's great. Just saw Gwen a couple weeks ago in D.C. Got a hug. I got a hug from Gwen more recently than you.
yes, you have. A little jealous.
Overall, though, ladies do love Dirty Dom. We've learned that. It's true. I'm just here for my brains.
Yes.
You bring sex appeal to the panel.
Yes, and thank you for letting me use your memory.
844-967-2789. You can be a part. Big election going on last night.
Wow, dude.
And we got some new polling coming out today from the great state of Wisconsin. Marquette University Law School poll. Our friend Charles Franklin joining at 5:30 today. Stick around. We'll go inside the numbers. But now I got to tell you, starting to feel like a blue wave, baby. The Democrats, my understanding, outperformed expectations by about 11 points last night. 11 points across the board in Ohio, in Virginia, even in the state of Mississippi. And that was the only election, near as I could tell, that didn't really go blue. But the gubernatorial candidate in Mississippi was within like 4 points last time I saw, Dom. And wouldn't you know it, the black voting districts in Mississippi, predominantly, overwhelmingly, black voting districts, ran out of ballots.
What are you going to do?
Judge would not extend
what
the hours last night of polling while they got new ballots.
If you can't
win, steal it, man.
I mean, come on. I mean, when you have to resort to those kinds of tactics and then stand up in another breath and say, oh, freedom and democracy. Well, we know what they mean about freedom, their freedom to make you do what they want to do, their democracy. Oh, they're fine when it's those folks getting voted in. But seeing how the right wing has been freaking out. We have, who was the frothy guy? Santorum? We got the Santorum.
Oh, Rick Santorum.
Oh, Rick Santorum came out of his shell last night.
He's been a GOP presidential candidate a couple times. Former, yeah. Former Republican senator yeah. from Pennsylvania. Really hasn't done much since failing in the primaries back in 2012.
Well, he's found his voice, and apparently he's not real fond of democracy. Nate, if you would play.
Not with these outcomes.
Play the Santorum.
And you put very sexy things like abortion and marijuana on
sexy.
The ballot. And a lot of young people come out and vote. It was a secret sauce for disaster in Ohio. I don't know what they were thinking, yeah. but that's why I thank goodness that most of the states in this country don't allow you to put everything on the ballot because.
You know what a secret sauce for disaster is called? A frothy Santorum.
Whatever you do, don't Google it. No, come on, man. I mean, how was it that? How maybe it's just the folks want access to abortion and they want legal weed. Maybe you, Santorum, and Republicans should justify your position. What is it about your position that would force the state to mandate my behavior when it comes to weed or a woman's right to choose? What gives you that right? People don't think you have the right to tell them that. If you don't want to smoke weed, don't smoke weed. You don't want to have an abortion, don't have an abortion. See how that works? See the difference there? I'm not making you get an abortion. I'm not making you smoke weed. But your position, you're making me not smoke weed. You're forcing me. You're forcing women not to have that choice. What justification do you have, Santorum, to use the heavy hand of the state to force people to do something that you don't want them to do?
Well, democracy stopped working.
Well, for them? It's called losing the argument. It's called losing an election. That's what it is. And it wasn't just Santorum. It was Republicans across the board.
You know, I wanted to hear what Whitey Talk Radio host had to say, Dom. So I went perusing around the state a bit. Because, you know, we got lots of competition. Although, really, do we?
Well, there's other shows at the same time, but not much competition.
Well, there's other inferior talk programming around the state. Not all concurrently running with us. Here is what your boy, Dan O'Donnell, had to say.
Your boy.
A few takeaways from tonight's elections in Ohio and Kentucky. I go to the former Twitter. One, abortion and marijuana are absolutely devastating to Republicans. Regardless of what you think of their legality as policy matters, they are political losers even in the reddest states. You noticed a little bit more. Andy Beshear is a unique Democrat, sure, but he's still a Democrat. And if that branding wasn't enough to beat him in deep red Kentucky, then there's a problem with the Republican brand.
The Republicans are in disarray.
A little bit more here. That problem, as much as many don't want to admit it, is largely in voter hatred of Donald Trump as a larger-than-life standard-bearer for the Republican Party. Beshear tied Daniel Cameron, he was the Republican nominee in Kentucky, to him often, and it worked. Now, I disagree with you, Dan, in this regard. Donald Trump was not on the ballot last night. Maybe in one specific race, because you got a MAGA-loving guy running against the incumbent Democratic governor in the state of Kentucky. It might have worked in that race, but I would tell you, this election last night was not really about Donald Trump, per se. Future elections, they certainly might be, but last night it was about abortion. Last night, I can tell you, Dom, when I was in D.C., and for some reason, I must have gone on, like, Hulu. That's my streaming service at home. I must have gone on Hulu while I was in D.C.
You logged in, yeah.
And the local ads from the Northern Virginia area have been following me to the cabin. I've been seeing them for a couple months now, a month or so. And I can tell you, these ads were forceful, they were straightforward, and they punched them right in the mouth. Don't elect a MAGA Republican who will ban abortion. And the ads were blunt, they were straightforward, there was no mincing words, there was no being coy about who was on what side of these issues.
I appreciate those kinds of ads.
And what do you know? The Virginia House of Commons and the Virginia Senate both turned blue against expectations, against all hope that this Youngkin, this Glenn Youngkin, you know, not quite tarred and feathered with the Trump brush yet. You know, it stayed above the fray. It was more about parents' rights. You know, can't make parents send their kids to school where they're being taught woke stuff. That was more of his tact, right? And Yudkin was supposed to be the guy on the bench just in case Trump got indicted and went to prison between now and the election day. They were going to call Yudkin. He was your, you know, candidate in case of emergency guy.
Break glass in case of emergency.
Not so much anymore. He could not help overcome this blue anti-abortion sentiment. You know what Yunkin's take was? 15-week abortion ban. That's like a compromise ban with a few exceptions for rape and incest. That'll satisfy the women. Or not.
Yeah, I'm not sure Republicans know how to satisfy women, Michael. The Hill reporting, and we'll get to the callers, 844-967-2789. Senator J.D. Vance, he's a Republican from Ohio.
Oh, what a gut punch.
Says it's a gut punch, Crudy. In a lengthy post online, Vance, who campaigned against the effort to ensure abortion access, attempted to parse out why the measure won with support from nearly 57% of voters.
It won by 500,000 votes in a race of 4 million cast votes. 500,000 votes. That's pretty substantial.
For pro-lifers, last night was a gut punch. No sugarcoating it. We have to recognize how much voters mistrust us, meaning elected Republicans, on this issue. JD is not just that issue. He goes on. Having an unplanned pregnancy is scary. Best case, you're looking at a social scorn and thousands of dollars of unexpected medical bills. We need people to see us as the pro-life party, not just the anti-abortion party. Of course, abortion rights proponents celebrated the Ohio vote. Vice President Kamala Harris said this: the results in Ohio underscore what the vast majority of Americans believe. Politicians should not interfere in decisions that should be between a woman and her doctor. Aw, JD. Now, do you think they're going to change their stance? They're going to change their positions?
They tried to change their constitutional referendums, earlier this year?
So you couldn't have
Republicans in Ohio tried to change it where the threshold for changing the state constitution, they have a referendum.
Through a referendum.
Would have to meet a threshold of 60%.
Instead of 50% plus one, right?
Well, last night, both marijuana, legalized recreational marijuana, and codifying legalized abortion in the state of Ohio, they both passed by like high 58% margins, right? 58.6, something like that. Would not have passed. And it's interesting, if you cast a map of the earlier anti-democratic effort of Ohio Republicans, last time through, I think it was in August, and you cast the news votes, guess what? Same people turned out in droves to defeat this effort. It's like people want control over their own bodies and small d democracy.
Well, exactly. A government that represents them, not a government that, you know, when the majority of Republicans all of a sudden realize that they might be losing on the issue, like they did here in the state of Wisconsin, you go and you mess with the machinations. Oh, we're going to change the rules now because we know this one's coming down. Let's try to quick change the rules so we can't, you know, we won't let our fellow citizens, you know, vote in the way that they have been voting. It just shows how weak and ineffective their positions are.
More of the right-wing musings of Righty Whitey Talk Radio host via Twitter. Clan O'Donnell. Number five, this continues a trend of Democrat overperformance with pretty much every special election this year. The Liberal won by 11 points in the Supreme Court race in Wisconsin, where vote margins are normally razor thin. And according to analysis by the New York Times, have outperformed expected vote totals by an average of 11 points in each race. If you got an 11-point blue wave coming next year, Dom, it's all over but the crying. A little bit more from Klan. Number seven, how is it possible when Joe Biden is polling at historically low levels, Biden himself is seen as senile and incompetent, according to you, fella, but his Democratic Party is still generally preferable to Trump's Republican Party. Well, you can say that again. And then one final thought here, Dom. On issues like abortion and marijuana, Republicans are not with the majority of Americans. And as a result, voters are rejecting them. You don't really hear it said plain spoken like this very often. A little bit more from Dan. Add to the general dislike of Trump, and it all has the markings of a bona fide disaster for Republicans next year. Oh, I'd say.
Marijuana legalization in the state of Ohio won 57 to 43.
So it actually modestly outpolled the abortion issue when all was said and done. Earlier in the evening, Joseph Pecky, who, you know, watched the polls come in with us last night. That's what we're doing. That's what we'll tell the people. hanging out with Joe and some other friends. And Dom, he thought that marijuana would outpoll the abortion issue, and by a very slight margin.
57% to 56.6% on the abortion issue.
But neither would have met the higher standard Ohio Republicans try to set for the electorate, you know, that 60% threshold. 844-967-2789. I think Mark's been holding patiently the longest. Mark, you're first today. Welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
Hello, Mark.
Yeah, thanks, guys. And of course, Republicans don't believe women have orgasms anyway, so it's not surprising.
They've never seen one. Can't prove it.
But and it amazes me now we do find out that Mike Johnson actually does have a bank account, but it's a non-interest-bearing account, so he doesn't have to report it. And the first thought that occurred to me there is that the reason he has a non-interest-bearing account, so he doesn't have to report anything in his his financials.
Checking account, you got to have a pretty consistent balance. Crudy doesn't have an interest bearing checking because money doesn't stay in my account long enough. Bar tabs and all that kind of stuff.
And nor do I. But I mean, it's just ridiculous. It just sounds, the deception that I find at the base of him saying that kind of thing is just shocking. From supposedly a Christian man who's supposed to believe in the Ten Commandments, and here he's misrepresenting, actually bearing false witness in another case, and we all know what that's supposed to be. That's supposed to be a sin. Well,
oh, hell, come on, Mark. You know how it rolls. If you sin, and who doesn't sin according to the righteous right?
Well, if you're doing it right,
I don't believe there's any such thing as sin, Curdy, but they believe that you just go and ask for forgiveness and it's all good.
No, I've got a theory.
Okay.
MAGA Mike Johnson didn't want to be accused of being usurious and collecting interest and have Jesus come down and flip over the tables in the temple.
The money tables, yeah.
That's my theory. More of your opinions. You got to have better ones than that. 844-967-2789.
I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates.
And we are back.
You are our dancing queen.
Thank you for listening. We're the devil's advocates. You can join us on the lines. We will dance for you at 844-967-2789. Hell, put me in a cage. Put me on stage.
Put you in a corner? Nobody puts Dom in a corner. 844. 967-2789. I'm a little disrupted by your dancing.
Yes, I see that.
Bill from Grant County. It's not a pretty sight, Bill, but welcome to the show.
It's called Rhythm, Bill.
How you guys?
Hey, good, man.
How you guys doing?
Excellent.
I appreciate the show. And stuff. You know, as far as this abortion issue goes,
yes,
I'm kind of confused. So if a woman is pregnant,
yes,
and she's involved in an accident, either a shooting or maybe a car accident where somebody's, reckless and negligent, whether they be drunk or, what have you. Now, that is considered two homicides. When does a person become a person? Because that's okay to kill the baby in the womb because it's really not a baby. So the leftist murderers, the baby killers, can't make up their mind. It's a double standard. Can you explain that to me?
Well, under the 1849 law that a Dane County judge, and I'm going on a better legal opinion than mine here, Bill, actually says that the law in the state of Wisconsin would ban infanticide, effectively killing a baby. And, Bill, it seems like a good policy. There was a former Carolina Panthers football player, a wide receiver. I think it was Ray Caruth. I hate to be wrong on this topic, but I believe he killed his pregnant girlfriend because he didn't want her to have the baby. Well, of course, that's still murder, Bill. You know what I mean? Whether it's one count or two count, that still is murder. But a woman does have the right to decide if the the cells within her, which don't become a baby. The Jewish people don't believe you are born until the first breath. So depends on what religion you believe, Bill. But I believe science, and I believe that women have the right to make that decision for themselves because they might not believe in the same God or Jesus or biblical take that you or I might believe in. And it ain't our bodies, Bill. So I believe the women have the right to choose for their bodies, and you and I can choose for our bodies.
Exactly, Bill. And let me put it a different way. If you go to the bank and take money out through an ATM, it's called a cash withdrawal. If you go to the bank and rob it and take it out and steal it, it's called robbery. Right? It's still taking money out of the bank, but one's legal and one's not. See how the difference is there, man?
Exactly. You just robbed that child of a life.
It's not a child, man. That's the whole point. You're missing, and that's the belief. You believe it is? Do you believe that it is what? The soul comes into the cells, the two, when the egg meets the sperm, and now it's infused with the Jesus soul? I mean, if you have that belief, well, then I can see how you would have that point. But at the end of the day, it's the woman who may not have your belief, she doesn't have to live by your belief, Bill. Nor do you have to live by theirs. Okay. If you have a woman in your life and they're pregnant, they don't want to have an abortion, Bill. They don't have to. You see how that works?
Okay.
No one's forcing you and your women to have abortions, but you want to force other people to believe what you believe. What
and have babies, whether or not they want to.
What justification do you have for forced government birthing, Bill? What gives you that right?
I'm not forcing anybody.
That's exactly what you're doing, man.
What right does the baby have?
There's no right for cells, Bill.
Unless you're in the wrong cell, right? Birth begins at conception.
Well, that's what you think, Bill. That's your opinion, Bill. You see how that works?
That's not what science believes. And even the point of viability, which had been the standard roughly for Roe v. Wade about 20 weeks, now, questionably, it could have been moved forward if the standard was viability. But this Dobbs ruling and these Federalist Society handpicked, steal a couple of Supreme Court seats, these Trump people on the court, Amy Coney Barrett, Kavanaugh. I mean, hell, even Roberts was down, right? And Alito's probably the one that leaked it, Bill, because he wanted to lock in his majority. But the overturning of Roe v. Wade is going to have disastrous results. Regardless of what your religion tells you, Bill, it's an electoral loser for your party. And if this is still the case, and of course it will be, there's no way to codify Roe v. Wade at this late hour with this makeup of the Congress. Bill, this is going to be the issue that takes down the Republican Party here in the state of Wisconsin and nationwide. And every indication is it's going to be a blue tsunami, Bill. So, you know, opinions are one thing, but electorally, it's a damning opinion you hold, sir. 844-967-2789. Jim from Appletown. How you doing, Jim?
Hey, Jim.
Jim, you got to be quick. You ready for us, Jim? He's not. Jake from Milwaukee. You ready for us, Jake?
Hey, Jake.
Oh, yeah. I love it when people like Bill call, because I think when I think of pro-life, I think of everyone's life, you know, like those of us who are living and at a rock show or a country show, and then 50 get killed with a, you know, semi-automatic weapon, or dying from COVID because Republicans didn't really care. You know, so don't just say you're pro-life, because if you agree and you're cool with people getting gunned down, innocent people who have the liberty, have their liberty lost because some psycho can buy a military weapon and kill you, then you're not pro-life, man. You're not.
Thanks for the call, Jake. I want to get one more in. Susan, you're up. What do you got for us today, Susan?
Hello?
Hello, Susan. Yeah,
you're
there.
Up, Susan.
Oh, hi. Oh, that was quick. Oh, anyway, well, I think you need a female voice in this
yes.
whole conversation with all these men. Actually, back in the day when my mom was having children, women would have missed their periods when they go to their doctor, and the doctor would do a D&C. You know, there was no asking them any questions. Just happened, because that's how a lot of women controlled their there's number of children because it was illegal for women to have birth control. The second thing, my second point is that I am actually a pro-life person, but I do not believe, for myself, I'm pro-life. I'm not pro-life for everybody else. So I'm taking my myself out of the equation because I know how I am, if I were pregnant, how I would be. So that, I know that. But I think all these men in the conversation have to understand that they have a very big onus in this as well. And it's time for us to make that conversation about most people who propagate this pregnancy and how they are going to handle it collectively or not.
Susan, you make excellent points. I wish we had more time. We're up against hour two. Come back the happier, happy hour.